Well, okay, so how about we go to Psalm 103, excuse me. And I'd like to share today on God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness, and that's something we have definitely experienced in our lives through the years. When I first heard God's word, I was 18 years old, and I think the biggest thing I saw at that when I first started going to fellowship was how the word of God actually works when you apply it. When you believe the promises of God that are written therein, it actually happened. I had never heard of that before. I didn't know anybody that was a Christian when I was growing up that talked about the Bible like, here, this is what it says. If you believe it, this is what's going to come to pass. And it just blew my mind. And I started doing it, and I started seeing how God's power was activated, and it was just thrilling to see. I think we're all in that same boat. And I started seeing God's love for me, and then I started seeing God, the love of the family, the God's people, where they actually loved each other, and that enthralled me. I just was enthralled with it. And through time, as I started growing in the knowledge of God's word, and I'm sure same for you, as you grew in the knowledge of God's word, started seeing God, the different characteristics of God. And who he is and what he does and what he promises. And one of the things I started seeing through time was God's loving kindness and his gentleness towards me and towards people. And I really saw his incredible power and strength. But then I started seeing another side or another aspect of that loving tenderness towards me. And so I wanted to be like that as much as possible. We want to be imitators of God and the things of God. And so I added that to my list. You know, but just kept starting to see more and more God's loving kindness. And so my heart started softening, and it started changing, and my life started changing more and more. And so it was a real blessing. And I wanted to tell you two incidents that stick in my head. In light of this, and there are many incidents where God was certainly loving, kind to me, or gentle, and in our own lives, when we look at our lives, how we can see God's gentle hand on our lives, and guiding us, and helping us, comforting us. One was a number of years ago, probably at least 25 years ago, and it was a Sunday night. It was dark. And for some reason, Susan was in our old, big old white van. I don't know if you remember that big van, but it was a big van. And she was, I believe, in South Jersey. She was coming from something, but she was by herself. And it was late. And I went to bed, and it started to rain. It was a really heavy rain, like the rain we had the other night, on Friday night. And so the kids were here. She was just by herself, that I remember. And I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and the phone was right next to my ear because it was on my side of the bed, on the bed table. And it rings, and I pick it up, and a person on the phone goes, may I speak to Mr. Pittenger? And I said, speaking, and he says, this is Officer, because Susan was driving in the van, and this is Officer, whoever it was, and I need to inform you that your wife... And then he said, had a flat tire. But it startled me out of sleep. And the loving kindness of God's action was, as I woke up and I'm reaching towards the phone, I heard a still small voice say, everything's okay. And I'm reaching and I hear everything's okay. And I pick up the phone and heard what I just said. And so he helped me avoid all that that weird feeling you have when you have an officer calling saying, I need to tell you about your wife. So I thought, oh, I just was so grateful to God that he took care of my heart, that I didn't have to have that sudden surge of panic or fear or anxiety or adrenaline going through my heart. And I thought, what kindness. And then the other one was, and this was all before cell phones and everything else. So The other one was we were started to travel, and we were going to go to the Caribbean for a cruise. And so we originally started, and we were going to Puerto Rico, because that's where the port was, where most of the ships were at the time. So, and again, that was before GPS and all that stuff. You had to use your map. And so LaGuardia Airport and Kennedy Airport had much better airfare deals than Newark. So, and it's complicated getting to them. So I would write it down. I wrote down every movie I had to make, every turn, every this and that. And I kept the sheets, and I kept it in my file so I wouldn't have to do it another time. So the night before we were ready to go, I got my paper out, and all, you know, my map stuff, and all ready to go. It's on the island, so all I have to do is pick it up. And we're ready, because it was a really early flight. So as soon as I wake up that morning, I hear God's still small voice again. He goes, "You silly, you're going to the wrong airport." And I really woke up, and I rushed downstairs. I look at the island, I look at the paper, and sure enough, the paper I took out was the wrong airport. And in my head, I was thinking that airport, but really, the ticket was for the other one. And I thought, oh, thank you very much. But he called me, "You silly." It's like I used to call my sister, younger sister, "Goofy Kid." If she did something silly or goofy, you know, she was a goofy kid, and she always, it always tickled her. So he called me, "You silly." He was tender with me. He didn't say, "Listen, asshole, you get the, you pulled out the wrong paper." He would have been right, but that's not how he treated me. He treated me with great tenderness, great kindness, gentleness, and that's really been the case all these years. And I'm sure you've got many, many examples of how God's loving kindness and comfort, you know, He comforts us, He takes care of us in ways that are helpful to us. And of course, there's, He definitely reproves us, He corrects us. You know, He's not a slouch. You know, if we're wrong, He lets us know. You know, He reproves us with God's word, but He's very tender. He doesn't upbraid us and kick us around, and, you know, it's just not that way. And I think Psalm 103 is just a great psalm. I thought it'd be nice just to go through it, showing that tenderness and kindness. Again, God's not a pushover because He's kind and loving. Quite the contrary. You're not going to push God over on anything. It's just not how it works. But He is just so kind to us. So the first verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And bless basically means to praise or give honor, to adore. And literally in the Hebrew, the word bless means to bend the knee or to kneel. It's literally what it means. And it's where you bend the knee, not like what they're doing in sports today, but bend a knee in honoring God and in adoring God in reverence to God Almighty. So that's the heart behind that blessing. I'm just going to give my whole heart and life to God. Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We can't remember them all. Sometimes I don't even remember what I ate for lunch the day before. But we are not to forget them all. And there are a lot of things that God has done for our lives. You know, the biggest is He pulled us from death unto life, you know, eternal life, that we got born again, and we're going to live eternity with Him. And all the benefits of the things that He has done for us. God says, just don't forget them all. You know, how many kids that we know are new, at, you know, when they're teenagers, they kind of get cocky and they kind of forget, you know, okay, 15 years ago you were changing my diaper, now I'm thinking you're an asshole. You know, they forget what somebody did for them, how somebody took care of them, somebody loved them. But then, you know, if they're smart enough, they start figuring it out. Verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, referring to sins. And it's all of them, every single one of them. That's love. That's so loving to do. And who healeth all our diseases. Again, knowing that God Almighty is not only willing, but able to heal every problem there is. Like Allie and I were talking about, her sinuses are bothering her today. I don't know for how long, but they're bothering her today. But in the depth of her heart, she knows God's going to take care of her. That's a great thing to know, as opposed to, I have no clue how I'm going to get rid of this. Or Jimmy Drinks has cancer. He is just convinced in his heart, God's going to take care of him. He's doing what he needs to do to help facilitate that. You know, to have that in our hearts, that, and there's so many healings that have happened in our fellowship, miracles and things. You know, there's one person in our fellowship that actually was raised from the dead. And, you know, the things that God has done for us. It's just, so he heals all our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The word redeem means to buy back. It's also used a lot of times in the Old Testament as the kinsman redeemer, where a kinsman would come in and redeem a widow from destitution, if that's a word. Is that a word, Susan?
Yes, sir.
How about that? and redeems her out of a life that of the future that has no future. And God does that. He redeems our life, pulls us out or delivers us out of destruction. And there's a lot of destruction in life. You know, our son Daniel is walking a life full of destruction. The things that he does and allows in his life keep messing his life up. And we probably all went through that when we were younger before we got in God's Word. Our lives were messed up. And some people allow more damage to be done unto their life than others. I mean, it's just the way it is. Some people just kind of skate around destruction because of whatever, but other people walk right into it. I remember a guy that came to our fellowship a few years back, and he said, you know, I was just getting to know him, and he goes, you know, I've had a rough life. Half of it I caused myself, and the other half just the world around me laid it on me. But either way, it's destruction. And it says, he pulls us from that destruction. Who crowneth thee, and the word crowning means to surround. That's what the word crown means. He surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the word loving kindness is often translated as mercy or goodness or kindness. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be surrounded with God's loving kindness. And it says tender mercies. Tender mercies is from one word. Most of the time it's translated as mercy. But I found it interesting. It's also translated as womb, as compassion, and as bowels. So hold your finger here. We're going to look at three of those words or uses in Genesis chapter 43. In the New Testament, the word tender mercies or sometimes loving kindness, it means, it's literally the word bowels. Chapter 43 and in verse 14. This is when Joseph, who was down in Egypt, his brethren were in front of him and they were coming for food and they didn't know he was who he was, and he's finding out about his father and his brothers. So he sets it up where he's sending his brothers back to go get his younger brother. And he says, you could ask your father if he'll let you bring your youngest brother to me. I think that was Benjamin. And in verse 14, he tells him, verse 13, take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy, and that's that word, before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And so that was, you know, the compassion and that mercy in that scenario. And then verse 30, and Joseph made haste. He left his brothers. He was so moved by what was going on, and he just had to go in another area and cry his eyeballs out. And verse 30 says, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels, and that's that same word, did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. He entered into a chamber and wept there. It's the word bowels right there. And then in chapter 49, verse 25, it says, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, and of the womb. And the word womb there is the same word mercy, tender mercies, that's in Psalm 103. And basically, it's a comparison that comes from the very depth of your soul. The innermost part. And a womb is a great description. I don't have a womb, but you women do. And to have a baby come out of that womb, the compassion and the love for the mother towards that child is just, it's just, I don't know how to explain it in words. In the Hebrew, the bowels in the womb were considered the seat of the strongest emotions. And so when God says that he is surrounding our lives with his tender mercies, it's with all that he has, all the love that he has. It's just from everything that's inside of him. And I think we feel that way about our children, you know, that we just, despite sometimes the screwiness or whatever, the love that's there is an undeniable bond. You know, it's just an incredible thing. And, you know, it's a natural thing that God set up in our lives. And he has that on us. When he looks at us, we are his children from the very depth. If you can consider, you know, think of God having a depth to his soul, so to speak. It's just as deep as it gets. So that's why it uses the word womb. Bowels, like when Joseph cried his eyeballs out, he emptied everything he had, because he had been not hoodwinked, but they sold him. They were going to kill him until they found out they could get some money from him for him. You know, his brothers betrayed him. It was a betrayal of all betrayals. And then he still had a love for them, and he still had a love and yearning to see his father. He hadn't seen him in many years, and God had worked some great things, and he realized why he ended up in Egypt. He saw God's plan, he saw the whole thing, he sees his brethren. It just, he couldn't contain it. You know, that's what God has done for our lives, and continues every day doing. Let's go back to Psalm. That tender mercy. And when I first got in the Word, I didn't see that stuff. I saw the great power of God, the accuracy of his Word, the wonderfulness of it, the splendor, the great integrity. And I loved it. I mean, absolutely loved it. Saw how things worked. I just didn't, you know, I recognized God's love, but I didn't see that oomph of how he loved my life and how tender he was towards me. I just was, the more I started seeing, the more I was very thankful. So we have that, verse 5. The Lord, who satisfies, another thing he does for us, he satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And the word mouth a lot of times is translated as age. The The NASB translation translates it as, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Have we not experienced a lot of great things, good things that God has laid on our lives, good things? And so our fellowship is one of those good things. You know, he has put the body of Christ together, and those who walk with the love of God in the body of Christ, we're part of that good things towards one another in the way God set up life. But and we know the thing about the eagle, you know, diving down, losing his feathers and renewing his strength. But our lives are renewed, our youth is renewed like the eagles. We can't turn back the clock. Like when we get older, our skin starts to wrinkle a little bit, and some doctors will, for a fee, will take it and stretch the hell out of it and turn it this way and twist it that way, and you can put creams and fillers and everything else in there, but if you don't do that, the wrinkles are there no matter what. It's just that you're somehow manipulating it. But our skin ages. It's the law of time that God set up. You can't change that. But the promise is you can still have vigor, you can still have energy and strength even when you're old. It's just the way life is. Life doesn't have to be terrible because you're old. It should be wonderful. Let's go to the next verse. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So the Israelites saw what God did. Moses was instructed, here's why I did what I did. You know, he gave Moses a behind the scenes action of, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Kind of filled Moses in on a lot of the why fors and wherefores of his actions. Children of Israel just saw like the Red Sea open. They're like, wow. But Moses was instructed a little bit deeper, why is it this happening, and what God's intention was, and the big plan. And that comes because Moses had a love for God and really wanted to know. Verse 8, and the Lord is merciful and gracious, hot-tempered, slow to anger. Doesn't mean he never gets angry. You know, we see it in the Old Testament, the anger of the Lord was, you know, fired up or whatever. The anger of the Lord fires up when he sees some of his people getting messed up, you know, or hurt, or people trying to hurt God's people. Remember that song we read a few weeks ago? He comes down on the pillar and the earth shakes and lightning goes off. He's going to help his kids. You know, he's got some fierceness to him. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's overloaded in mercy. Like a kid going in the candy shop and the whole shop is just loaded. All the bins are overflowing and a kid can have anything he wants. You know, it's just, wow. It's plenteous in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Boy, is that a heart melter. The day we realize that, and the day when we realized it for our lives, that, okay, I'm not going to be punished for what I did in the past. That's a great thing that for a psychiatrist to read to people. Hey, look, buddy, life isn't so bad. you're not going to be rewarded according to all your sins. It's just a great healing balm for our lives. He doesn't deal that way with us. Do we deal that way with others where we're, okay, you've been an asshole all your life, you're still an asshole, so I'm going to treat you like an asshole. You know, Susan's dad made a traveling song that somebody ran him off on the highway or whatever, and he sang a song about the guy being an asshole, and he just went on and on and on. It was a funny song, but we just don't treat people according to how they are. We treat them with kindness. They treat us like terrible, we treat them with kindness. Remember it says don't, you know, give evil for evil? He doesn't treat us that way. What's that?
He really wants to hear the song. Play it for you later.
Yeah, it's a good song. And he made a whole tape. It was before CDs and stuff. It was called Travel Music. So when we travel places, we could play it. And it had all these nice little songs. And then the song would interrupt and he'd have part of that song in there. And then we'd go back to the other one. It was really kind of funny. I thought it was clever. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, which is pretty high, so great is his mercy. It just keeps coming up toward them that have a reverence for him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. It just is incredible, the things that he keeps saying about us. This is how he is. But when I first got in the Word, I just didn't see this stuff. I just enjoyed the greatness of him. I was trucking along, loving it. But then as time went on, I just started noticing, he's really kind. You know? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth. Pitieth is the word for compassion, has compassion. Again, it's that word for bowels. Pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows how our frame. This is why he does this. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are just dust. For as man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So he recognizes, you know, we're just made out of dust. I mean, we may be strong, we may be wonderful, we may blow out a lot of hot air. But he says, you know, really, you're just made out of dust. You know, you're like the flower that, you know, it's in the field one day and the wind blows it someplace else some, you know, other day. It's a very temporary time that we have on earth. It calls it a vapor. And he recognizes we're weak, really. I mean, we're just dust. We're wonderful, but we're dusty wonderful. You know, but that, you know, that's why he does that, because he recognizes our weaknesses. You know, it's just the way he is. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He's the top dog. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And it ends with what it began with, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, where we bend the knee to God Almighty in thankfulness and gratefulness. A couple more verses we're going to look at. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. This was like a slap of cold water on my face the first time I understood this verse. Because it's certainly not the way the world operates. And sometimes we get mixed up with what the world treats each other. Sometimes that gets on us and we start treating other people like the world treats other people. And that's just like, ugh, get that stuff off me. But verse 35 says, but love your enemies, which is not easy to do, and do good and lend. Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, and to whom? the evil, kind to the unthankful. I think being, you know, somebody treating you with unthankfulness is really sometimes hard to get past. You know, you maybe do something for somebody and they have no thanksgiving whatsoever of what you've done for them. And not that you did it to get thanked, but it's just a tough one. For me, it was at first. You know, just to be kind to them, even if they're just rattling off stupid stuff out of their mouth. To be kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And that kind of covers anything. What evil you want to put in there. And that's how God is. He's that way even to the unthankful and the evil. He's especially that way with those who have a love for him and who are willing to look towards him and willing to love him. Then, you know, he really gets to pour it on. That's why he says he crowns us with that. He just gets to pour it on because we're allowing it. We're saying, I'm right here. I'll take it. Whereas other people are, you know, give God the middle finger. But he's still kind to them. Really wild. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, it's God's goodness that gets us to a point where we want to change our minds or change the direction that we're going or bring us unto salvation. This verse reminds me really of Donnie and Terry and how they are with their neighbors, Tara, you know, Kevin and Tara. They've been kind to them and speaking a word to them for years. They're neighbors, they see each other. And Tara is getting closer and closer. You know, she's just getting closer and closer to truth and seeing God. And she's not being browbeaten into believing what God's word says, just being loved and taken care of and kind to. And it's leading her to changing her mind about God, which is really neat. I mean, some people it might take 5 minutes, other people it might take 50 years, I don't know. My stepbrother, I witnessed to him as soon as I got in the Word. That was 1974. He's just starting to listen. He's just starting to see God's not so bad. Oh, interesting. And lastly, we're going to Ephesians chapter 4. You probably have this memorized inside and out, but I'll read it. Chapter 4 and verse 32, one of the commands that God gives to all the believers. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, and here's the standard with which we do it, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember Dr. Will often saying, I found it easy to forgive others when I would remember what God had forgiven me for. When we start forgetting what we've been forgiven for, and this and that, our hearts get a little more hardened and we stop forgiving. But when we remember what we've been forgiven for, what has God pulled us out of or forgiven us for, it's a little easier to make the decision, okay, I'm forgiving that individual. I'm going to not think that way concerning that person. And that's part of that loving kindness. But that's how God is with us. Just so nice. So, and like I said, there is a, it's not like God's a pushover. There is a very, I mean, when you look at the book of Revelation and what Jesus Christ is going to do in the future, that's all directed by God Almighty. You know, he's coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's going to shake the world up. He is going to, it's going to be a fight. And the unbelief is getting dealt quite a blow. You know, the stuff with the lightning coming out of his side and swords and You know, it's sharp, it's piercing. There's that, but there's also that loving kindness, you know. And us as parents, we do that with our kids. We reprove them sharply, but we cuddle them in love with them. You know, it's not like the guy's a, what do you call the multi-personalities?
Schizophrenic.
Yeah, guy's a schizophrenic. He's nice to me one minute and banging my head the other. So, it's just interesting. So, we do have a wonderful Heavenly Father. And it's great to be reminded of that. And Psalm 103, it just hits so many aspects of God's love for his people.